a street lamp here so that I'm not in complete darkness. So we continue our exploration together of the sacraments. And before we begin to explore one of the sacraments, the first of the sacraments, the sacrament of baptism, I'd like to resituate a few things regarding the sacraments in general that we touched upon last week, and maybe add a few more points which I think further lay the foundation for us before we explore specific sacraments. We stated last week, as you recall, that each sacrament is a gesture of Christ, something extremely intimate. In other words, in each sacrament, Jesus touches us. In each sacrament, beyond words, such as the reality of gestures, Jesus takes hold of us. A sacrament is like a loving embrace, and in the embrace, Jesus communicates his love. The best context, therefore, for understanding the sacraments is always that of an encounter with Christ. Baptism, for example, in this context, is then understood as the initial encounter, the initial embrace. And it's in this way that we begin to see how the sacraments are real, how Jesus in the sacraments are real. It's a very important analogy, gestures of Jesus. Otherwise, sacraments, it seems to me, can remain somewhat vague, or these ceremonies, and they can become somewhat generic. And we can even begin to think in quantitative terms if we don't think of specific gestures of Jesus. And we start to ask questions like, well, how much blessing am I getting in that sacrament? Well, what about that one? How much blessing am I getting in that sacrament? You know, we very easily, as Catholics, fall into such thinking, especially with such practices as indulgences. We're not going to go there. Gestures communicate love, and love, as you know, in your own personal lives, is never quantitative. You can never say to somebody, you know, I think I have about 723 pounds of love in my heart for you. It's not a quantitative thing. There is, however, more or less in the sacraments, more or less intimacy. The sacraments are always intimate, but some sacraments are more intimate. If reconciliation, for example, prepares Eucharist, that suggests that Eucharist is more intimate. If confirmation completes baptism, confirmation is more intimate. It's always to go deeper in love. Now, regarding these sacraments again in general, as you may have noticed, with each sacrament there's something tangible. Bread or water, for example. Something very real which engages us in our senses. And this something tangible and very real suggests and it signifies a hidden reality. It suggests and signifies this communication of God, this sharing, this divine sharing beyond words, this gesture. St. Thomas Aquinas, to whom I will refer very much, if that's okay with you, and interestingly, whom the Catechism quotes quite a bit, you may notice, if you have read the Catechism and you look at the footnotes, says that a sacrament is a sign of a holy thing that makes us holy. A sign of a holy thing that makes us holy. He also says that a sacrament is a sacred secret. Love that definition. A sacrament is a sacred secret. And so, amazingly and interestingly, each sacrament suggests and points to a hidden something that Jesus actually does. Otherwise, it would just be a symbol. It's a symbol that brings about something real. Each sacrament, in other words, symbolizes something, and what it symbolizes actually happens. Consequently, as I just said, each sacrament is more than a symbol. For example, in baptism, the water signifies, as we know in our daily lives from showering, signifies cleansing. And Jesus in baptism actually cleanses the soul. That's the genius of the sacraments. Now, we believe that Jesus instituted the sacraments, and in so doing, makes a promise always to embrace us when they are celebrated. We must always look to Jesus, the author of the sacraments. Outside of him, the sacraments make no sense. Outside of him, the sacraments are not divine. They are simply interesting, more or less, human rituals. Jesus is the one who sheds light on the sacraments because Jesus is the one at work in the sacraments. But we know and we believe, we know in faith, that they are not outside of him. And so they're always more than rituals, whether people realize it or not. It doesn't depend on us, it depends on him. And he makes a promise and he keeps his promise. So for example, when people come forward to receive communion, everybody receives the body of Christ, as present as they may be, as absent as they may be, as believing as they may be, as unbelieving as they may be. Jesus keeps his promise because he's faithful, period. So when a sacrament is celebrated, Jesus comes. Jesus is present. When we fulfill his commandment, that is to say, do what he says and celebrate these rites or these actions, Jesus comes. Jesus is present. Consequently, each time a sacrament is celebrated, divine love is communicated. You can be sure of that. Not because, as some may say, the sacraments are magical or automatic, but quite simply, again, because Jesus is faithful. Jesus keeps his promises. Now, in each sacrament, we see that there are two necessary aspects, two things that Jesus designed and asked that we include and do for there to be a sacrament. Something that we bring to the table and words that we must say. Now, if you look at that from the outside, it's really quite unusual. I mean, try for a second to imagine explaining the sacrament to a non-Christian, somebody who's never been exposed. Try to explain, for example, the Eucharist. So you say, well, okay, let me tell you this really important ritual that we have in our church. We take some bread and wine, and then the priest says these words, and then poof, we have the bread of God. And they would say, okay, that's really interesting. Yeah, I saw that on television, on that really weird network. Yeah, that's really neat, thank you. And yet that's what we believe. From the outside, it could appear without the eyes of faith to be quasi-magic or something. Really, if you look at it squarely. And yet, this is what we believe. The church articulated the following in the Council of Trent regarding the celebration of the sacrament, or any of the sacrament. If anyone says that by the sacraments of the new law, Grace is not conferred through the act performed, but that faith alone in the divine promise suffices for the obtaining of grace. And then, of course, in the wording of the Council of Trent, let him be anathema, meaning good luck. Or in other words, you're just sort of out in left field. We love you still, but there's a problem here. It's very important to situate that and to know that and to ask for an increase in faith to believe in it, because sometimes it's difficult to believe. But we so believe this promise of Jesus that the sacraments are always real, they're always valid, even when the minister is out to lunch, which is really a relief. So I can be out to lunch and it still works. Thomas Aquinas, again, goes so far as to say that the minister can even not be sure he believes in the sacrament, and it's still real. He says that even an unbeliever can confer a true sacrament, here I believe he's talking about baptism, provided these other essentials be there. It is Jesus who is faithfully at work. But there is this mysterious cooperation, as I said. We, the church, must bring something to the table for there to be a sacrament. If there's no bread, we can't celebrate the Eucharist. If there's no water, we also have a problem. And there are words, an element that is brought, or matter that is brought, and words that Jesus tells us must be uttered, must be said for there to be a sacrament. There are words, and there is a sensible sign. And St. Augustine says in his commentary on the Gospel of John, the word is added to the sacrament, to the element, and this becomes a sacrament. Very interesting. And so here we see the mystery of the church at work, the body of Christ acting in concert with Christ, the church doing what Jesus commands and Jesus responding faithfully. In the end, the sacraments testify to the faithfulness of Jesus. The sacraments testify to the faithfulness of Jesus. Now, just a little food for thought. Thomas Aquinas, again, in trying to understand the sacraments, finds an interesting parallel, or develops a very interesting parallel, which I'll just mention in passing. Okay? He acknowledges how the church has discerned these two aspects of the sacraments, and then he tries to discern how that makes sense. And he says, well, that kind of makes sense, actually, given who Jesus is. He says that these words being added to what we bring to the table, these sensible, meaning can be sensed, signs, make sense given who Jesus is. Jesus, God become human. He says that the words are joined to the sensible signs, the bread, this is my body, for example, much like the word, the second person of the Trinity, you read in the prologue of John's Gospel, the second person being designated as the Word, was joined to sensible flesh. Okay, I just put that out there, chew on it, deal with it, and we're moving on to something else. And so we believe that Jesus, if I may take liberties and paraphrase, says to the church, you will take this element, you will bring it to the table, you will bring it to the altar. You'll bring water, or you will bring bread, or you will bring oil, or you will bring human love, or you will bring your sins, strange element to bring, and yet Jesus works wonders with that. And then with this element, you will utter these words that I will give you, that come from me, and I will be at work at that moment. And in one of these celebrations, in one of these sacraments, namely the Eucharist, I will remain. There will be an abiding presence. Read the Institution of the Eucharist. Read John's Gospel, chapter 6. So we take an element that is naturally symbolic and fittingly lends itself like water. And the words that are added articulate the meaning, help us to understand more what is happening. The sacraments also testify, it seems to me, to the mercy of Jesus, to the faithfulness of Jesus, and to the mercy of Jesus. He takes that which is closest to us. We live in a material world, and we are sentient beings, and we like to touch water and oil and eat bread and feel the breeze and see the sun. He takes that which is closest to us, that whereby we know. We come to know things first in sensing them. And he makes use of this something that we can sense, so that our minds, ennobled by faith, can touch him who comes to us veiled beneath these sensible signs. It's really quite clever, if you think of it. Jesus is really quite clever. Okay. What is the power in the sacraments? What is the source of the power in the sacraments? His name is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Thomas Aquinas is a little more specific, actually. He says the sacrament, he says that the sacraments come from something specific regarding Jesus. We think again of the sacraments as being these encounters with Jesus, communicating divine love to us. Again, gestures always communicate love better than words. The question is, when did Christ pour forth his love most magnificently? At the cross, most splendidly. And because the love poured forth, fasten your brain belts, because the love that Jesus poured forth is eternal, the hidden face of the cross is eternal. There was the event that occurred 2,000 years ago, but the love is eternal. So there's a mysterious hidden face to the cross. So there's no longer pain or blood associated, but there's love. The cross remains a source of love. And so Thomas Aquinas says that the sacraments of the church derive their power especially from Christ's passion. The sacraments of the church derive their power especially from Christ's passion. And he says, it was in sign of this, this is a very spiritual reading of what we find in the scriptures regarding Jesus on the cross. It was in sign of this that from the side of Christ, hanging from the cross, there flowed blood and water. The former of which belongs to baptism, water, the latter of which belongs to the Eucharist, blood, which are the principle, the main sacraments. And then further on he says in his study regarding our side of this encounter we have in Jesus in the sacrament that the power of the sacraments is derived principally from faith in Christ's passion. Okay, all this will be on the website. Okay, relax. Okay, now we believe, if I can continue regarding the sacraments in general, that there are seven sacraments. And if I may again appeal to Thomas Aquinas, he tries to understand why seven doesn't make sense, and then how do we understand the seven? Is there a comparison with something that will help us to understand that they kind of make sense because they're for us, human beings. They're not just these lofty things that God throws. I mean, they're designed for us because it's Jesus coming to encounter us personally. And his reference was not that of gestures, which is one way of looking at it, but trying to understand the seven, he refers to the reality of human beings maturing, the reality of maturation. And he draws a parallel between the sacraments and this human maturation. A parallel between the divine life and the human life. And the maturation of persons, first within ourselves, and then with respect to the community. And so I have a little diagram here.